Good morning. Good morning. Hey, there you are. Hey, Ken. It's good to see, well, everyone from up here. Yeah. I'm just thinking about us worshiping together and the individual way that I worship and that you worship, and we come together, and worldwide Christ's body is worshiping. Matthew preached a sermon some time ago about those who have worshiped before us, ancestors. I don't know, it kind of blows my mind when I think about that. How many of you remember October 1st? Well, it's a marker in my memory because I was sitting back there about where Craig was sitting, sitting beside Nancy, and I was really uptight because I knew that the next morning at 5:30 I was supposed to be in the hospital for my prostate operation, and I hadn't been in a hospital since I had my appendix out when I was a junior in high school. Wow. Anyway, you guys prayed for me, and the nervousness just stuck around. Till that evening, I was in, Nancy was looking at something on YouTube, and those of you that don't know about YouTube, you can look up anything about how to do anything. And so I said, "What are you looking at?" She says, I'm watching your operation. Well, so I went on YouTube and I looked at it. And I really got relaxed. Modern medicine is so amazing. I've got 5 little puncture holes in me where they went into me with robotic things. And the doctor was sitting at one computer screen over here, and his assistant at another computer screen over here, and they were operating these gizmos. And I got to sleep through the whole thing. Yeah. For those of you in the medical profession, nurses, wow, I am doubly thankful for you. No matter what time I woke up during the night, you were there. I appreciate that. We have a tradition here of standing up and say good morning to people around us. Just want to let you know, if you're a guest here this morning, there are slips of paper, I believe, for you to fill out. We welcome you to come back and worship with us anytime. We're pretty human here. We get mad at each other, and then we love each other. We worship together. But you're welcome to worship with us. Let's just say good morning to folks around us, okay? Thank you. You guys remind me of teaching in kindergarten, getting the class back together again. Yeah, this is great. All right. If you notice the songs that Louise has picked out, I think Louise is leading the music this morning. Is that? Really work with the overall theme today of thankfulness and worshiping God. And in the years past and up leading up to today, I've learned some things about thankfulness that have given me a depth to that word. I'll just have to tell you, I really don't like health problems that are associated with my allergies and my autoimmune system. I wish they weren't there, but the word wish doesn't work anymore. But I am thankful for the thankfulness that I feel for the parts of my body that don't feel pain. I've been having some hip ouchies. And when I go for my walk, it's there. But my hands don't hurt. I was just looking this up, there are 29 bones, 34 muscles, and 100 ligaments in each hand. And they're just working. I'm thankful for that. It doesn't make this go away, but it makes the focus turn a little bit. I realize that there are some people whose hands, arthritis, really hurt. Yeah. I don't like it that I don't know where my middle son is, Dylan. We haven't had contact with him for about 3 years now. Dylan has, when he was small, had some severe abuse and neglect, and attachment issues led to mental health issues, and it's been a rough go for him. It's been a rough go for us. But on the flip side of that, I'm really thankful for what I learned out of that pain. I learned about myself, my limitations. I learned about that gift that so many of us have been given of trust. That we've had parents that taught us trust at a very young age. It's helped me, I think, be a better counselor. To recognize and work with and help those students at school who really knew how to push adults' buttons in their anger. They could bring anger out of other people and deflect the attention off themselves. I don't like it that I can't hear as well as I used to. I don't, Doug knows nothing about that. I don't like it that I need to put a hearing aid in order to have a conversation with Nancy. But through the years, I'll just have to tell you that not hearing real well has led some interesting conversations between the two of us, where I think she said this and she actually said that, and yeah, anyway. But I do have to tell you that I have learned, and I don't know if it's because of my hearing loss, but I have a deep thankfulness for the silence and meditation. And that's kind of a worshiping experience for me. I usually hit to go to bed around 10 or 10:30, but I end my day doing some stretches and exercises. And then going out on the front porch, turn the porch light off, and just sitting out there. What a beautiful experience that has been for me. God has blessed me with that. Speaking of silence, do you know what you're doing on October 19th, 20th, and 21st of 2018? There are several of us that are with coordination with the pastoral leadership team are organizing a spiritual silent retreat. And it'll be held up at the Abbey. And with the help of Marlene Krupp, we will be spending that time just focusing on listening to God and listening to each other. I'll have some more information for that later on. Kind of the humorous side to a silent retreat is that when you get together with a group, why would you be quiet? We're so used to talking, right? But when Rick Regier was pastor here, he organized silent retreats, and I went to both of them. And there was a richness there in being quiet and the leader giving us some things to think about, to meditate on. I'm not sure why, but I really encourage you to think about joining us for that. I've learned that the deepest sense of thankfulness for me doesn't come from just saying I'm thankful for the obvious things in front of me, but it comes from the other side of the pain of losses that I've experienced, that all people experience, because we're human. I just think that someplace along the line in my walk, that has been a gift for me that I'm thankful for. I'm not suggesting that I don't feel pain, but I've done the pity party thing. It doesn't work. Not for me anyway. So, is there an amen out there for anybody? Yeah. Let's do some singing together, okay?
Well, if you don't want to be quiet, you can attend the fall quilt retreat at camp that same weekend. The songs I've chosen, the common theme for me was God's love for us, so watch for that. Please turn to number 70 in the worship book, blue book, number 70. And I think you sing better when you stand, so if you are able... Thank you. number 86.
Thank you, Louise. I appreciate those songs. Kevin just reminded me that I forgot to make a space for announcements. So if you have announcements, would you please come forward and give those now?
There is a new sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for Dinners for Eight. Sign-up will go through the month of December, and then it'll be January, February, and March. And if it feels like it's been a long time since we've had Dinners for Eight, it has been, because August I forgot completely about putting a sign-up sheet, so we haven't done it since July. So sign up today or later in December, and then January, February, March, and those months where it's rainy and cold and you need some company with other people, you can have it then.
There'll be another sign-up sheet back there for Roles for Refugees. We're up and rolling for Christmas this year. We'll be raising money, awareness, and relief kits for through MCC and Preemptive Love Coalition. And we'll be raising money, that money, and kits for Syria and Iraqi displaced people. Grace Church in Wilsonville is partnering with us this year by also raising kits and money. So we're excited about that. What else? I have a whole list of things, but this is the hardest thing I do with cinnamon rolls. I could make cinnamon rolls all day, but ask me to come and do this, and I just... So if you would like to order cinnamon rolls, this sheet will be up on the back. It will be up today, and it will be up next Sunday when I will take it down. So please order by then if you can. The cinnamon rolls really freeze well, so order a lot, and you can pick them up the following Sunday on the 10th. What else? They're $11 for the pan of four, which is what we charged last year. And I have a lot more on my list, but I feel like I've been up here too long, so please find me if you have more questions.
I am up here to remind you that outside we've got wreaths for sale from Juana Cortes, and she's been making wreaths now for about 5 years. And this is just an opportunity for us to help her to be able to sustain her family. She is one of the sweetest, most full of grace and mercy little woman that I have ever met in my whole life. And if you have the chance to meet her, please do. She lives right across the street from the 76th station in Hubbard, and she has her wreaths always for sale. You can drop in if you miss out, or if you want a garland, or if you want something other than what's out there, you're welcome to order. I have all of her information. And they're the ones out there are $20 each. So, thank you.
Good morning. So we gave away 97 turkeys on Tuesday. So. And just like every year, that's definitely a record. But every year we wonder if we're going to have enough, and we always have either. There's some years where at 7 o'clock we have one turkey left and one more person shows up, and then we close our garage door. This year there was 103 donated, so that's also a record. So we had plenty to give away. We had enough freezer space to put those last six turkeys in our freezer out in the food pantry, and we're going to raffle those off for Christmas. So thank you so much for your donations. If we have one of your kiddie pools, we didn't have enough room to bring it to church because we had the wreaths in the back. All right, so I'll bring it next week. And then the second announcement is camping for 2018. So several of you guys went camping with us. I went online last night to look at Fort Stevens, and it's almost already booked out. When were the days of just like going and trying to find a campsite? Now everything's digital and online. So I decided to move it to Nehalem Bay, which is a really nice campground outside of Manzanita. It's on August 24th and 25th. I'll try to get an announcement in the bulletin for next week. So it's on a Friday, Saturday, the last weekend in August, the last full weekend in August. So if you're wanting to, a lot of campsites were already booked. But come and talk to me if you're interested and you like to book this week before I get the announcement out. If you went last year and you were on that email chain, I sent an email out this morning with all the information. So, but come and talk to me if you're interested in going camping this next summer. Thanks.
Let's have the ushers come forward, please, to take up the offering. Andy, that's my kiddie pool, and I use it every week, so I'm gonna miss it this week. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming and listening to the offers. Let's pray together. Father, in this silence, in this time, oh, we hear rain on the roof. Ah, your presence. Thank you for letting us have the ability to give. We don't know what will happen with this money, where it'll go, but we ask for your blessing, your spirit to follow it and bless it to the needs of people. Amen.
Please join me and our loving shepherd, whoever intercedes for us, in this prayer for us. You raised up your Son, O God, to be Lord and ruler over all creation, even over all kings and kingdoms of this earth. You have seated him at your right hand as our shepherd and king, a gentle shepherd who seeks what is lost, who binds up what is wounded, who strengthens what is weak. A just and righteous king is he who rules and advocates on behalf of the weak, the poor, the ill, and the oppressed. By the sharing of your Holy Spirit as well, grant that we might more deeply know you and more deeply know your loving reign and guidance, that your love might fulfill all your loving purposes for us, personally and as a congregation. Empowered by your Spirit, grant that we might also share with others that love, that grace, and those gifts which we receive so freely from your hand, for the building up of this body in your love, and for the accomplishment of your purposes in all creation, and for the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, in whose name we pray. Amen.
It's time for the kids to come up front and join me. And, you know, adults could come too. There's no rules. Come on up. Good morning. We'll wait for a few more. Our numbers are small today. We're going to talk about a couple words today. Do you like to look up words and the meaning of them? Are you word people? Hi, Jack. I know you like words. Can anybody tell me what this word says?
Thanks.
Thanks. Can you give me a definition of thanks?
Thanksgiving.
Okay, Thanksgiving. The word is in Thanksgiving. What does thanks mean? If I ask you, what does it mean when we say thanks? What could you tell me? Yes. Okay.
So that's
why we have Thanksgiving too. Yes. When someone has done something kind for us, we like to say thank you. And Thanksgiving is about showing love to those that care for us and spending time with them. So I looked up the definition. And this is what I found. Thanks means kindness or grateful thoughts. A good feeling that you have towards someone who has helped you or given you something. Sound good? You agree with that? A kind or grateful thought. Okay, I've got another word. You better get back there so you can see my other word. Here we go. What's this word? Giving. What does giving mean? Yes. Okay. You're giving someone something. So giving is an action word. So I looked that up. To present a formal action or to offer this action for another. Yes. What you do. Yes, it's a do word. So I put these two together, and what do I have?
Thanksgiving.
Have we all just celebrated Thanksgiving this weekend? Yes. So who would you be saying thank you to on Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Thank you for the turkey, yes. Something to eat. Thank you for my parents. Thankful for parents. Anyone else? Who would you be saying thank you to on Thanksgiving? Yes, Paul. For what? For others? For the earth. Thank you for the earth. We can't live without the earth. Yes. And what should we say thank you to God for this time of year? Thank you, God, for making me special. Thank you, God, for what you do in caring for me. How would we show God that we feel thankful in our hearts? What's things we can do as action to show God that we are thankful to him? Did you do any? Pray. We can pray to God. We can give. Giving go-gurts to others? Yes. Giving food to friends? Serving others? Maybe not always wanting more. Is that a way to say thank you, God, when we don't always want more, but we're content with what we have? I want to read from Psalm 100, and I want you to listen to this scripture and see if you recognize the words that we talked about, okay? Thanks and giving. This is from Psalm 100, and it's from the Message. The Message is more modern language from the Bible. On your feet, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sin yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Let's pray. God, there's so many things that we can reflect on this past week and give thanks for. We are truly blessed. We are truly cared for. And we thank you for this community, for these each person here that cares for us and that desires to love you and worship you. Thank you for Thanksgiving and a time to pause and make our password thank you. Amen. You can go back to your seats.
Thank you, Jana. Yeah. I'll be reading in preparation for the sermon from the book of Ephesians, verse 15 to 23. And I'm reading from the New Oxford Bible. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that was named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And as he put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Matthew, would you come? Let's pray together. Yeah. Heavenly Father, as Matthew shares with us, I ask that you bless him with clarity of mind, a focus on what you have given him to share. As we hear what he has to say, may you help us to really hear what is there for us. Thank you for your spirit, for being with us here this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
In one of the reviews of a worship service that Worship Commission and Jana and I got to see this year, the reviewer included a few questions for future sermons to address, like this one. What am I here for? Which I take it to mean, what am I doing in this church? But rather, what is the purpose? What is the meaning of my existence? Now, I don't know who the respondents are on these surveys are, which hopefully makes it easier then for people to fill these out. And thank you, by the way, to anyone and everyone who has ever filled out one of these surveys or questionnaires. And thank you also, whoever you are, for that particular question. So now that you have asked, why am I here? Let's get to it. The Bible passage that we just heard answers that question, plus another related one that just naturally, logically follows, and which I also hope to address. Not just, why am I here, or why are you, first person singular here, but why are we here, that is the church. What is the church for? What are we here as a group for? And that question, why am I here, may just be, no, let me say, it is the most important question that we ever have to answer. And one reason is because if we don't have a solid answer for that question, why am I here, someone else is very ready to give us their answer to that question. And as often as not, it's a bad one, a wrong answer, an answer that serves them better than it serves us. As we know, 80 years ago, Hitler and the Nazis told millions of German men that the purpose of their existence was to kill and probably to die for the folk, the fatherland, and the Führer. And millions of them ate it up, go figure. And today, neo-Nazis and white supremacists are offering something similar. And again, people are eating it up, swallowing it, hook, line, and sinker. So we'd better have a good answer to that question, why am I here, before the wrong people give us the wrong answer for the wrong reasons, reasons that do us more harm than good. Furthermore, it had better be an answer that stands the tests of time and the struggles and the setbacks of life, like those which some very good people endured, whom I got to know when I played in the back of the second fiddle section of a suburban community orchestra in the Detroit metropolitan area back in 1991. There are a lot of wonderful people and very talented musicians that you find in these community orchestras. But don't give up your day job if you join. You only get paid enough usually to pay for the gas that gets you to and from the rehearsals and to the performances. And mostly it's your friends and your family who show up at these concerts to tell you about how wonderfully you played. But don't hold your breath waiting for a lucrative recording contract either. Such an orchestra is best enjoyed as a hobby, something you do for love of the music and for your fellow musicians and friends. But for that particular orchestra I was in, for some of the musicians, and I suspect also for the conductor, I came to understand that they were there mostly hoping that that community orchestra served as just a placeholder or a stepping stone on the way to some major metropolitan symphony orchestra like the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, which our community amateur orchestra most definitely was not. Now, trying to work your way up to a major orchestra is a very good professional goal. But for some of the people in that orchestra, it was more than their goal. It was their God. A God who demanded everything by way of sacrifice and struggle and suffering, in which for the vast majority of them gave nothing in return. So instead of appreciation for the wonderful things we had and the fun we could have and the friendships in that community orchestra, there was for some so much anxiety and perfectionism before our concerts and so much disappointment and negativity and criticism afterwards, even though people were saying terrible things even about their own solos. And I thought, you did great. Now, I can sympathize. It was not for lack of effort or skill or talent that many of these fellow musicians never made it into the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. After all, there are only so many places, spots open each year to audition for, and the competition is tooth and claw. And for no fault of their own, perhaps, they could never afford that $30,000 instrument. Or when they were young, their parents could never afford to send them to the right summer high school music camp to meet the right talent scouts from the right universities that would get them into the right conservatories. Or if they did get an audition, they had a head cold and they flubbed it up. Setbacks like that happen unfairly, undeservedly, to even the best athletes, the best scholars, business entrepreneurs, farmers, and others, for reasons so often beyond our control, like physical or mental illness, the economy, accidents, injustice, family emergencies, and more. Everyone we meet is a survivor of some such setback or frustration, including ourselves. So we need an answer then to that question. What am I here for that stands the test of time and that survives the trials, the struggles, the sufferings and the setbacks of life, the deaths of our dreams, a reason and a meaning for life that does not depend on what we or the world might call success? And here's the answer that today's Bible text gives to that question. What am I here for? And it's slightly different from the one that Christians usually give, and rightly. Usually, in answer to that question, we offer something like the great commandment, which Jesus made out of two Old Testament commands: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Based on that is a similar answer from the Westminster Confession of the Presbyterian Churches, that we are here to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. I love that answer. And not only are answers like that biblical and Christ-like, they can immunize us against all those other false and destructive messages that are always coming our way. But today's passage takes us just a step behind those usual answers to the question of, what am I here for? And it tells us why we are called and created to love God and neighbor. It tells us even what God wants for us before it tells us what God wants from us. It tells us not so much what we must do for God, but what God wants to do for us. And it assures us that whatever happens to the dreams that we may have for this life, God has an eternal dream and desire for each of us that nothing can hinder nor destroy, that we can only either accept or reject. Simply put, each of us exists simply so that God might bestow His love on us. That's it. Each of us exists simply so that God may bestow His love on us perfectly, infinitely, intimately, and eternally. Each of us exists by the overflowing love of God just to be the objects and recipients of God's love. That's it. Get it down and everything else flows from it. Everything else falls in place. But a word of warning is in order. We mortals typically have ideas about how God should love us that are often different from what God and how God finally loves us. For example, have you ever prayed for God to make you win the lottery? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to confess. Have you ever prayed for God to make you the most popular kid in school? Or to make the person you were attracted to you? Or to give you an easy, prosperous life in which all your wishes and dreams come true, with no health problems, perfect skin, and perfect teeth? If that worked for you and you got every material and social blessing you ever desired and prayed for, there are billions of people around the world who want to know your secret. Most of the time, however, we live most of our lives in our own personal plan B, C, or D. Like my beloved comrades who probably never made it into the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. I hope they still found great joy just making wonderful music, even while they were enjoying their day jobs and loving their families and friends. So how does God want to love us? Basically, not by giving us stuff, not by giving us things, but by God giving us God's self. God giving us God himself. That's what these blessings for which Paul prayed in the text we just heard amount to. And I'll try to... Oh boy, I'm handling technology here. This can be dangerous. Let's see how this goes. I'll try to sort of unpack them briefly. Each one is worth a sermon in its own right, but we'll just go over the things that Paul prayed for the churches that are God's way of showing us love. First of all, God shares himself through the Holy Spirit. All right, got that. Okay, God shares himself with us through his Holy Spirit. For Paul prays that God might give us or you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's God's own spirit, the Holy Spirit. And this is so that in verse 17, you may know, it's still working, yeah, God better. You may have a relationship of familiarity and spiritual intimacy with God. So not only does God want us to know why he put us here, not only does God want us to know the truth about God, not only does God want us to know what to do for God, God wants us to know himself. And thirdly, God also wants us in verse 18 to know the hope to which he has called us. So whatever the setbacks we endure and undergo, God wants us to face them and go through them with hope. It might take a moment, it might take a while, but God wants us to give us hope even in that and through it. And fourthly, God wants to love us in all the ways that he loves Jesus, the Son, and so make us the joint heirs with Jesus of, quote, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, the saints. It's still working, all right. This is not just a future thing, by the way. Working already on our behalf to give us hope is his incomparably great power to us who believe. And it's that same power working here and now in our lives, which God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but the age to come. In other words, God wants to love us by giving us here and now a true and invincible hope and these resurrection foretastes of all the good and better things yet to come when God accomplishes his plan A for us and all creation. And all these gifts from God basically amount to having a relationship with God, to knowing God personally, rather than just knowing about God or just knowing about God's will. And our own denomination's Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective takes this same tack when it says in Article 6 that human beings have been made for relationship with God, to live in peace with each other and to take care of the rest of creation. And so our confession follows Paul's lead here in Ephesians 1. It tells us what God wants for us, which is basically a loving relationship with God, before it gets around to telling us what God wants from us, which is peace with each other and care for creation. Because we can't do that second thing, really, not sustainably, making peace with others and creation, without the first, that kind of relationship with God. And so that answer to the question, why am I here? For God simply to bestow his love upon us in all these ways, that can better stand the tests and the troubles, the setbacks, the struggles and sufferings of this life. Because it's not about what we do or are supposed to do first, but not about what we're to achieve or to accomplish or to acquire or to accumulate or experience. It's about who we are, God's beloved. It's about whose we are, God's beloved. And that's also why Jesus commands us to love our enemies and anyone else whom we ever find hard to love. Not because it's a foolproof, automatic way to make the world better and bring about progress. Although, you know, anything has got to work better than war and weapons and conquest and killing. But Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to pray for them Because what is true for us is just as true for them. That they are here, not to be targets of our hate, our fear, our drones, our bombs. They are here simply for God to love them the same way that God loves us. And it may well be that God wants to make His love for them known through us. Excuse me. And that answer to why we are here also says much about others whom the world discounts and despises. For example, yes, there are illegal actions, but there are no illegal people. There are illegitimate behaviors, but there are no illegitimate children. And that phrase can't disappear from the English language too soon. It also says much about those whom the world is edging ever closer to considering and treating as burdensome, disposable, and expendable, especially people at both ends of the lifespan, the unborn and the terminally ill, the most frail and elderly who may require constant care 24/7. And when these folks remember just how active and productive and helpful they once were to family, to church, and community, they may grieve, yes, of course, but also wonder, why am I here? Why has God not brought me home yet? Or those with chronic health conditions or with major disabilities in their body or their mind, which at some point is pretty much everybody. But there's a reason why we are called human beings rather than human doings. So whenever anyone asks, what's the good of my existence anymore? Or what's the good of their existence anymore? Let's dare to say that just being here to be loved is reason enough. It's God's reason. So answer that question first. What does God want for me? And the next things will come more easily and automatically. What does God want from me? What am I supposed to do with my life? First of all, simply open our hearts ever and keep them open to receive and to accept God's love. And then it will want to flow through us to others. And anything that we do for God and for others will be a result of the love given to us, the fruit of it, rather than an angsty effort to earn love. And such a reason and meaning for living will also stand the test of time and the trials of life, even the deaths of our dreams, even the deaths of our bodies. And that's the testimony of this anonymous poem that was first published in a newspaper during our country's Civil War. I'll read it as you read along. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but got everything I'd hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all people most richly blessed. Oddly enough, the very things that made the unknown author of this testimony feel blessed and beloved in spite of his or her sufferings and setbacks are the very things for which Paul prays in today's passage. The very riches of his love that God wants to bestow on us in a growing, deepening relationship with God that gives us dignity, which gives us hope, come what may, and which makes us joint heirs with Jesus of all the heavenly blessings that his Father bestowed on him in love. So again, to answer that first question, why am I here? Why are any one of you here? Just to be loved by God in the relational, eternal, and unconditional ways that God wants to love us, just as much as if we were Jesus and through the eyes of Jesus. Because that's how God sees us and loves us, as Jesus and through the eyes of Jesus. And that brings me to the second question that this passage answers, and that many people are asking, especially the young. Why church? What's the church for? Why should I care about church, let alone attend or join one? People often tell me, hey, I believe Jesus is cool. I believe in him, or at least I believe in the things that he taught. But why have anything to do with the conflicted, confused, crazy, imperfect people who claim his name and make up every church, including yours truly? And the answer to that question is in verse 22. And I'll share with you the J.B. Phillips translation that makes it most clear. For the church is Christ's body, and in that body lives fully the one who fills the whole wide universe. So why church? Because the infinite and eternal God who became flesh and who dwelt among us bodily as Jesus still wants, still seeks to live and love and work through human bodies here and now. Yes, even in the bodies of us confused, conflicted, crazy, struggling, sinful people who make up our differing and divided churches, none of which ever get it all right. A saint from 16th century Spain, Teresa of Avila, put it this way. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look upon the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless people. Being Christ's hands and feet and eyes and body of love to others, that's not a do-it-yourself project, nor finally is accepting and receiving the love that God just always wants to bestow on us. That's not a do-it-yourself thing either. Accepting and receiving the love that God created us for is a personal decision, but it can never be private. And that's why we need each other, in order to be the hands and feet and eyes and mouthpiece of Christ. And that's why we need each other in order to live out and share and experience and know the very reason for which God created each one of us, simply that God might love us as he does Jesus. Amen.
Please turn to number 44 and sing The Journey, and again stand if you are able. Number 44, The Green Book.
We're going to move into our prayer and share time. I also want to ask that if people have visitors here that they would like to introduce, extended family, we don't always have a time in our worship for introducing visitors. So I'm going to start with Craig walking over to his brother because I want to introduce Ray, and I want Ray and Craig to stand by each other. Because I call them the bookends. They're the bookends of nine children, and Ray's the oldest and Craig's the youngest. So just come stand with him for a minute as I introduce you. Ray and Craig, the bookends. This is Ray from Wisconsin, and his daughter Lisa is also here visiting. So good to have you here. Reuben, nickname maybe, Raymond. Matthew, thank you for your message. This is your opportunity to respond to our worship service and those things that were shared, or introduce your guests to. Anyone like to share? We want to remember those in our bulletin. You can see their names who are dealing with health issues and in recovery. Pass that to Carol.
This is Carol Miller. Recently, one of my sisters sent me a book called Pray for Me, and it was a book about praying for children. Matthew, your sermon, and especially this text from Ephesians, just kind of wrapped that all up for me, because the book is taking scripture and literally giving me prayer to pray for children. And several of the things that really stuck out, Matthew addressed. And in this letter to the Ephesians, I keep asking that God may give. And what struck me was wisdom and revelation, enlightened to that we could know the hope, to experience the great power that has been made accessible to us. And my question for each of us is, do we have someone praying for us that prayer? But also, are we praying that for not just children? Because what I'm realizing as I'm going through this book is I need to be praying this for some adults in my life too. So that's just kind of a challenge. And thank you, Matthew, for these words.
Thank you, Carol, for sharing. Dave Garber.
Hi, this is David Garber. I first want to thank all those that participated helping me through my surgery, bringing food, gift cards, shoving me around a little bit. It was all good. I also wanted to share a little bit about my grandson that was born. And he's a month old now. And he was born with a retina that didn't develop in his right eye. So I watched little Gideon, he's three, while they went to Kaiser. And when they went to Kaiser, then the doctor sent him up to OHSU. And he's going to be blind in that little eye. And just pray for wisdom for them on decisions that have to be made. He's going to go in for a check to see if he has a retina disease in the good eye in January. So there's some things they have to decide. So keep them in your prayers, and thank you. His name is Justice.
I want to just take a moment. Let's pray for Justice and his family. Lord, thank you for your great love for us that is never ending. And I just thank you for Justice's parents who love you and serve you. We just ask for your continued comfort and care for them. Thank you for the love in this family and extended family. Continue to bring wisdom and guidance as they watch Justice grow and become stronger. We just ask for your continued care. Thank you, Dave.
We want to remember Jacqueline Roth, who did have her MRI test this week, and hopefully that the family can get some results on that. And Kathy.
First, I wanted to thank Matt for the illustration of our hands and our feet being those of Jesus's now, because most of all, that's what brought me here, was watching the people literally walk with Jesus in my neighborhood and in this church. And I thank you for Matt, for that, Matt, for that is truly speaking to my family and Mark and I right now, as Mark is recovering from his
procedure.
Thank you, Jana. He's having some complications. I'm going to be calling the doctor today when I get home. So we thank you for all your prayers. And I send Mark all your thoughts that you guys have shared with me today. And once again, Matt, thank you for that, for truly being in a community in this family with people who do live with Jesus and live for him. Thank you, Jana.
Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else like to share? Also, Shirley Martin was able to come home this week, so I was told she was here for a little while yesterday to have Thanksgiving with her extended family. So we want to thank God for that and continue to pray for her healing, also for Darlene Kaufman and for Mark and Floyd Lapp. Let's go to prayer. I want to finish. Okay, Ken.
Thank you, Jenna. Some of you don't know my daughter, Sarah. She's like 35. But for the last 8 or 9 years, she's been living in Asia. And she works for International Rescue Committee, which is an organization that works with refugees. She has volunteered with a group to fly down to Brisbane and from there a 3.5-hour flight to a small country called Nauru. And there, the refugees are housed that Australia doesn't want. And so she's going through the process with them of helping decide who gets to come to the United States and who doesn't. And it's a very tough job for her right now. I really ask for protection around her, her emotions, her ability to listen. Because this weekend and Monday, they will need to tell some of the refugees they will not be able to come to the United States. Some of them have been there for 10 or 12 years longer. So they put a suicide watch out in the camp because they fear that this will be very devastating for them to hear. So, yeah.
Thank you, Ken. Let's go to prayer, and as I close this prayer time, I'm going to read from Psalm 23, just a revised version of Psalm 23. Let's pray. Lord, all of our cares that we've shared this morning have already become prayers lifted up to you. So we ask that you, the great healer, comforter, provider, sustainer, would be with us. And Lord, we desire for those we love, for their health to be whole. So we ask that with your tender care, you would be near them as we think of Jacqueline today. Restore her to health. Bring some good answers to these MRI tests. Be with her family. And we ask for your continued care for Darlene, Shirley Martin, Floyd Lapp, and Mark LeBaire. And for Ingrid and her family. And Lord, we lift Sarah to you, asking for your protection around her
as she has such courage to care for and find placement for these refugees. Just be with her. May she know your peace and your strength during this time. God, you are enough. You are enough for us. You give us rest in soft fields and beside whispering streams. You restore and renew us and lead us into life-giving ways. When death and evil come close, you carry us through. You protect and comfort us. When others seek to do us harm, your grace uplifts and provides for us. You fill us with your strength, and we enjoy overflowing abundance. We have confidence that your goodness and compassion will fill our days, and we will stay immersed in your life and presence forever. Amen.
Let's stand again to sing our last song, number 506 in the Blue Books. 506.
I love that song. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. May you be aware this week of God seeking you. Go in peace. Amen.